through the duration of the concert until after the concert is over. So once in, they will not be able to leave unless they repay to come back in. And the main reason is because of the beer and wine that will be there. One of the things that I ask for is to make sure that there'll be no reentry coming in and out because of people going out to cars, drinking alcohol, doing whatever. And one of the stipulations to have my company come in was to be able to have, once in, they don't go until they go out, and that's it, unless you had a badge on, and that was the only way they can come in and out. Other than that, the one thing that I can say here is I have two restaurants. They're both on 2nd Avenue, and I am very much impacted by the concerts that are held on the waterfront and the surrounding marathons and everything like that. When it comes to parking people, I have to deal with trash every day that I have to pick up. I have to deal with the homeless urinating on my chairs, everything. I mean, it's just part of being a part of Portland, part of being in business. I understand it's been the concerns of the Homeowners Association. I have done a 4th of July event where it's been 3,000 people for one of the Homeowners Association in that area right there. And it's done annually every year where they do have concerts there and a band. So I'm kind of concerned about that right there. But that's besides the point. Other than that, just as a business owner, I can reassure you that my company coming in there, I'm going to uphold the standards of my liquor license for the festival. And we have requirements by OLCC to only allow one beverage purchased at any given time. We will also have alcohol monitors walking inside and also outside. To make sure that if there are anybody out in cars, that there will be no drugs or alcohol in the surrounding areas, to make sure that that is being policed as well. Other than that, that's about all I have to say.
Thanks for your testimony. Excuse me.
Just one question. How far is the perimeter that your alcohol monitors?
From my understanding is they're going to be walking all around the perimeter of where the parking lot is around there. And then also the alcohol monitors will be in the cordoned off area as well.
Those will be employed by?
Those will be employed by my staff as well as Tim's staff as well.
Sorry.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My name is Nikki Davis. I'm an 8-time award-winning Billboard songwriter and also an entertainer at the show that's coming up. And I'm 55 years old, and I have lived in Portland all my life, and the park is a very special and sacred place to me. So I feel very honored to hopefully get the opportunity to perform in a place where I spent my childhood and my adult years. Today I'm here to share with you the music aspect of the artists that are performing. I am friends with every one of them. I have toured with Toots and been with 100 shows. Toots is 68 years old. He's not 30 and he's not 40. He's a legend in the reggae music industry. He does not, his band does not have this heavy thump, thump, thump that's being discussed here. His style of reggae music is old style music. It doesn't have that large bass sound. I'm 55 and it's hard for me to tolerate that heavy sound. So getting to work with him on fundraisers throughout the world and record live with him and on DVDs, etc., is an honor because his music is of such that I can tolerate it as an artist. The other artist that we're speaking about, Dubtonic Crew, they just recently won the 2011 Global Battle of the Bands. They are an infusion of jazz and alternative music and reggae music. Again, old-style reggae music. This isn't a bunch of jumping around, hollering, and hooting. It's very pleasant to the ears. The other band is Rhythm Culture, which is a Northwest reggae, blues, jazz fusion band as well. They perform all over the state all year long. Great, great artists. And then there's me, and I'm a blues artist, and I do a little bit of reggae music. I wrote a song when I was 14, growing up in Lake Oswego, and that's one of my songs on here, and that's there's only two reggae songs, and I'm not very loud. And then there's Toots, Flip and Twist. Well, that kind of gives you an idea. He's 68 years old, and his knees are kind of shot, so he's not jumping up and down and screaming and hollering as well. The amount of the noise impact regarding the Arlington Neighborhood Association, I think that they'll be really surprised. I think maybe they're expecting from previous concerts a lot of boom, 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 and this and that. It's not like that. The crowds that go to this type of show and with these artists, because I've been to all of them, oops, I ran out of time.
You can finish your time.
It's very low-key. There's kids from 2 years of age to 80 years of age. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. My name's Stu Dodge. I'm owner of Stu Dodge Sound Incorporated. We've been in business in Portland for about 20 years. I went back through some history. We've done at least 30 events in Portland with permits or noise variances from Paul Van Orden in hand. So we're well versed in the requirements, the nomenclature, the equipment needed, and how do you conform to a noise variance. So we certainly plan on following that to the letter. We can do it. We've done it before. I want to talk about the sound system, too. The sound system we're bringing is approximately one-fifth the size, for instance, of the system that's used on the main stage at the Blues Festival. I was given an RFP from Parks to bid on doing the all the concert series this summer, including the Washington Park Music Fest. And I want to point out that the specification in that request for proposal for the Washington Park concerts was that that system should be able to accommodate, provide sound for up to 4,000 people. The system we're bringing is essentially designed to provide sound for 3,000 people. So I haven't gone to any of the shows up there, so I can't really comment about what size system is brought up for the Washington Park Music Festival, but we don't have semi-truck loads of PA gear. It's a modest system, and it's nothing like the Blues Festival or any of the Waterfront Park shows. Last thing I want to point out is that three of the four bands that are performing, it's our sound engineers, so we're in complete control of everything that goes on. And Toots has his own engineering crew, but we're right there, and we have our hand on the throttle. And if there's a problem, we'll dial it back. That's it.
Thank you, sir.
Maybe I can ask you one question, because that relates to one of the conditions I asked Mr. Pate about earlier. So you can foresee a system whereby somebody would immediately detect at one of the hearing posts a sound exceeding, say, 73 decibels, and then have some kind of a communication system where you would immediately adjust down?
Right. We have radios. Okay. And we also have phones between the front of house sound engineer as well as the permanent sound recording area. So
thank you.
We would have 10-second communication.
Okay.
And I needed to add just one.
Sorry, there's no two bites of the apple.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Okay.
We're now going to hear from the appellant rebuttal.
I have a few points. First, in response to Commissioner's Fish's question about whether Parks and Rec has followed appropriate procedures, I think the key problem we have here is that we don't have a plan in place for this space. There was a master plan adopted 30 years ago for Washington Park that I'm told by Parks and Rec is no longer considered an operative document. That master plan, importantly, called for creation of a permanent citizens advisory committee to guide management of the park. Great idea for the city's most popular park. That never happened. We have no citizens advisory committee, and so we don't have good policies and procedures in place for managing this space. I mean, the one thing that Parks and Rec was supposed to do, advise the Neighborhood Association of this event, they did rather imperfectly because they gave us the wrong number. They said it was going to be 2,000 people. It's actually going to be more than 50% greater than that. One factual correction on the auxiliary parking that the promoter has arranged for, the archery range does not, in fact, hold 150 cars. According to the internal email traffic that I obtained from Parks and Rec yesterday, it holds only 40 to 50 cars. Now, Mr. Pate, I'm sure, is sincere in his desire to do the best job that he can. He said he always looks for the worst case first. Well, the fact of the matter is there are physical limitations just in the size of that park, in the parking available, in the streets around the park. As I said, you can't pour a gallon of milk into a pint bottle without making a mess. No amount of flagging, no amount of hotlines or good intentions or anything else can address that physical limitation of that space. We are down to the wire here. We're only 2 weeks away from this concert, and you might think it would be unfair to tell the promoter now that, gee, he can't do it or he has to find another space. The reason we're down to the wire is that he began the application process very late. According to Parks and Rec's permitting manual, for major events, you should start 9 months ahead of time. Well, this promoter first approached Parks and Rec in February. The noise variance was only applied for May 11th, only about a month ago. Even after Parks and Rec staff repeatedly advised him, you need to get your variance application in. He waited and waited and finally submitted it May 11th. So if he's under the gun now, if he's under the wire, if he faces a catastrophe, if our appeal is approved, it's a problem of his own making. I am glad to hear that Mr. Pate has now offered to run a shuttle all the way to the Zoo Max station. This is the first that we've heard of that proposal. Previously, he said he was only going to run a shuttle to the archery range. Let me suggest, if the council does permit this event to go forward, that it should limit the size of the event to what this promoter initially applied for, which is 2,000 people. He thought he could make it work with that number. That's the number that the Neighborhood Association was told by Parks and Rec. That would certainly reduce the traffic impacts of this. So 2,000 is a reasonable number. Second, right now the liquor license that OLCC granted permits liquor sales for 7 hours right up until 9:45 p.m., from 3 in the afternoon to 9:45. There is no reason for liquor sales to occur that long. There is no reason to let people get that tanked up for that long. You could cut off liquor sales at a reasonable hour to give people time to sober up, cut them off at 8 p.m., and let them cool off for the next hour and 45 minutes while the concert proceeds. And lastly, I would suggest that the appropriate length for this concert should be what we've seen in the past with the Free Summer Concert Series, 3 hours. If they have to change their lineup to fit into 3 hours, well, that's because they waited too long. That's all I have. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from council? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Could we have staff come up again?
Well, I have one question. The standard set for this event in terms of the decibel level?
Yes.
Is that different than the decibel level which is established for the concerts in August for the Washington Park Summer Festival?
Yes, it is. It's about, depending on what part of the day you're talking about, it's about 5 to 7 dB higher.
Than what we permit during the Washington Park?
Yes.
So this is up to 73-something?
They can go up to 75.
With 75, and what's the threshold for Washington Park?
Generally 70 for the concert series, the overall concert series the parks puts on.
Okay. So, and that's the reason they're applying for the variance, right? If they were under 70, they wouldn't have to have a noise variance?
No, even the Parks concerts require, Parks comes in and they get a variance. And when we look at those, they're usually smaller concerts. And the genre of music that's being produced at those concerts is not generally as loud as what we'd expect for this concert.
Okay. And the noise variance, because we are discussing a noise variance and not the whole management of the concert. Right? And it seems to me that one of the main criteria that we have to judge on is whether the public health, safety, or welfare is impacted. And that's from the noise? Is that what we're looking at right now? And what's the penalty for not complying with the noise standards? If they were to exceed the noise level, would there be a penalty?
There could be. It depends. The noise code was rewritten several years ago to empower us further, where we could write multiple citations in a single day. First citation would be $300. Then they would move up to, I believe it's $750. Third citation and we have a slightly lower citation penalty for someone who's actually applied for a noise variance as opposed to someone who goes out, like right now we're experiencing raves without permits. So because they have a variance, they have a slightly lower level, but it starts to go up very quickly if they don't comply, and they'll be up to $3,000 and $5,000 with multiple citations.
And that's within the same event?
Within the same day.
And will you be working with the neighbors to set up the stations and have them?
Yes, and I should have mentioned in my presentation to council at the beginning that because of the sensitivity of this concert and the fact that we haven't had one in a long time, I will be present to make sure that it's not just an unattended situation with the, you know, quote unquote, understandably from the community, the fox watching the hen house. So I will be there.
You'll be physically present.
Mostly out in the community, not really.
Will you be in the beer garden or outside of the beer garden?
I'll be on duty, so I cannot be in the beer garden.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How about the noise equipment? Do you supply that or does the concert?
No. They are required to use a fairly sophisticated system compared to the average concert. Like the Parks concerts are not monitored in the same way. They actually have to use what at this point, to the best of my knowledge, is only one system that the concert promoters in town have available. And what I mean by that is several years ago, the Noise Review Board became more restrictive, and I think only Horn Audio has gone out and purchased a pretty fancy sound system to monitor it. So they're going to actually rent that system from Horn Audio in order to monitor this particular event.
But it's an independently audited system?
Well, only insofar as it collects the information and then they have to hand us the printouts. But then the other things that we'll be doing is I'll have a handheld meter with me and then I'll be working with the neighborhood. And I talked to them very briefly about this before to Mr. Nagel to set up a sound system in a location that's not known to the applicant to collect readings. And so if we have a violation there, they may not actually receive a penalty the night of the event, depending on where the violation is found, but they could face penalties after the event as well. So there's a few layers of checks and balances in place.
Well, thank you for being willing to work the holiday. I know from other events that you are out at all times of the day and night, and I really appreciate your work.
No problem.
So, Paul, did you say in your opening that there are 10 variances a year for Washington Park?
No.
Ten variances a year.
There was a lot of information I presented. In 96, there were 10 commercial variances that Showman had acquired. And then in preceding years, the Noise Review Board became more restrictive, as well as the Parks Bureau, and limited Showman down to 5 of these larger commercial affairs that were put on. And I would be hard-pressed to answer how many variances we issue in Washington Park each year.
When the Noise Control Board reviews this, do you make a recommendation to them on this? I mean, did you?
I don't necessarily make a recommendation since I have to try and remain
facts.
As neutral. But on the factual side, I did place a focus on my experience that there was the potential for this event to have some base challenges. Mm-hmm. And I should mention for the record that one of the reasons why I felt very well versed in saying that is not only the 15 years of interfacing the parks and Washington Park, but also for 5 years, I produced a radio show just outside of Atlantic City that incorporated ska music, which is what Toots was originally coming out of with the ska movement in the early 60s. So I feel that I'm not disputing Nikki Davis's comments, but I do feel in my professional experience producing a show with ska music that this does have the potential to emanate into the neighborhood if we don't watch it carefully.
And then finally, how are you connected into the hotline? I mean, Mr. Pate says he'll you'll be the hotline, but I'm wondering.
I won't necessarily be directly interfacing his hotline. I would anticipate that some of the neighbors would circumvent the hotline and understandably call dispatch directly or call the noise hotline. So I'll be checking the noise hotline and also calling to see if we're getting any complaints to the sergeant who's on duty that evening and see how that correlates.
You'll check in with the hotline and with the
sergeant. And I'll also call him directly and see, especially if I'm getting complaints, if they're receiving them at the concert hotline. So there's a potential that citizens will interface complaints through their hotline, the city's dispatch system, 911/non-emergency, and then also the noise control hotline.
Thanks.
Mayor Adams.
Thank you, sir.
I would move to overturn the appeal and to uphold the decision of the Noise Review Board with the following conditions. First, that the promoter be responsible for picking up any trash generated by the concert. Second, that the promoter agree to pay for parking patrol during the event. And third, that the promoter work with Mr. Van Orden and the noise office in developing a process by which the noise standard, as outlined in item 3 in the decision on page 3, be enforced immediately.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion.
I'm a little concerned with the first two conditions because they don't seem to relate to the noise level, the trash and parking issues. I'm wondering, Commissioner Fish, is that something that Parks can work with under your permit to require additional things from the promoter?
Well, my understanding from the memo I got for this proceeding was that we can set reasonable conditions on any action we take at this proceeding, and these seem to be related to the event. And I don't know if the city attorney has an opinion.
We can do what we want.
Well, I can
review in this matter. The Noise Review Board, as an arm of the city, has decided and made a determination in this case. And as a judicial body, your appellate role would be to make a determination whether the Noise Review Board's findings were consistent with its code and with its procedures. And unless there was an error, you would uphold the Noise Review's finding. The code also gives you general authority to modify or amend the Noise Review's determination in a way that's consistent with what you heard today. So consistent with what Commissioner Fish says, yes, you can have additional restrictions or additional modifications if you choose not to go the route of just affirming or denying the Noise Review Board's determination. So you can be limited to that finding, to that ruling made by the Noise Review Board, or you can have the latitude to amend and modify as you see fit, but as long as it's reasonable.
Do they have to be related to noise, or can it be anything?
It can be very general in this case.
Thank you.
Is a de novo review, so essentially, you, like I said, you can just determine the facts is based on what the Noise Review Board has previously heard and limit it to that, or you can treat this as a new hearing and put whatever other conditions you wish to impose.
So I'd like to, with the motion on the floor, I'd like to ask a clarifying question of Mr. Bloom. Can you come forward, please, just so we do this right? The garden is on July 4th, is scheduled to be open how late?
Till 7 p.m.
And based on your testimony and letter, this is a busy day for the garden?
Yeah, one of the busiest of the year. And generally, beginning at 5 p.m., we start to trail off in terms of attendance. So it's that time period between 1 and 5 that is really critical for us.
Okay. And the parking lot that your garden goers use below, is that under your control, or is that just open to anybody?
It's generally open to everyone, and there's only 36 spots in that parking lot.
Okay. So, and that is the parking lot for the garden. There is no other.
Right. Everyone just uses either general neighborhood parking or the, you know, spots along the tennis courts and down towards the playground.
Thank you. So my if the maker of the motion would consider a friendly amendment to give the garden, that the parking lot be used for garden patrons until 5 p.m.? It's a public parking lot. Is that a friendly motion?
Well, I'm up. You're raising your hand to object to. Okay, then please, then let us do this.
He's yes. Not objecting.
Yes.
That's a friendly?
I'm just concerned about the precedent on
that. There's no precedence.
Well, everything we do is precedential, Mayor. And
I hereby proclaim it is not precedential.
There's parking at the zoo that some people also use when they walk up. So, but if that's accepted, it's been accepted as a friendly amendment. So,
okay. I don't intend for it to be precedential. I do think that given the state of the condition of the garden at this point, and there are only 36 spots, that until 5 p.m. that the patrons of that lot be dedicated to garden patrons.
So are you envisioning there'd be some kind of a board at the entrance saying Japanese garden parking only?
Yes.
Something like that?
I'm sure that the garden can get a volunteer to help, or we in Parking Patrol will help, and we'll signage it as well. All right, so that is a friendly amendment. Carla, can you, unless there's additional discussion?
I just have one clarifying question. How much parking enforcement are we envisioning asking for?
We'll work with the promoters on not only parking, but the flagging and the notification on the street, as we have done for others, to make sure that when the parking is filled up, that we actually don't let people proceed into the neighborhood or proceed from the bottom of the hill in the most usual routes. We just don't let them enter, because then it's just a traffic complete gridlock, and it's not good for you, it's not good for the event, it's not good for the neighborhood. I'm not going to say that there'll be a moat dug around the neighborhood, but on the entrances that are most often used, we've done this in other neighborhoods, and we keep the gridlock from consuming the neighborhood and the event. So we'll PBOT will join the meeting that Commissioner Fish has offered, and we'll also have a neighborhood person there on your transportation committee to make sure that we've plug the obvious holes, and when it's filled up, we don't have people enter. Okay. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fish?
First, thanks to everybody who took time to come out today and testify. It was a very useful and, I think, illuminating hearing. Second, I've been the Parks Commissioner for a couple years. It appears that we really haven't, this issue has not occurred since 1999, I think, is the last time. So it would certainly, it's my belief that we should revisit these issues, and we will do so. There is an existing coalition that we do deal with in Washington Park issues called the Washington Park Alliance. I understand it does not include all the neighborhood associations, the business associations, but it does include all the partner organizations that have some similar interests and concerns. So my guess is that we'll try to find a forum where we can all come together and have that conversation in the near future. To my friend Steve Bloom, Sean Rogers just confirmed that you've been added to the mailing list for all future notices. And for those who also want to be notified in the future, I'll just tell you our policy is that neighborhood associations and business associations automatically get notice, but any citizen or other party can request that they get notice of all things relating to Washington Park, for example. So, but that's been taken care of, Steve. So government, you know, at work here. I also want to acknowledge something Joe Angel said, which is that the reality is that this neighborhood and a number of people in this neighborhood have been enormously supportive of the Washington Park Summer Festival. And we appreciate that financially and otherwise. And I understand that people see a distinction here and they're concerned about scale and impact and notice and things of that. I think those are good issues for us to take up in another forum. This is a noise application appeal. So since it's limited to that, I will support the motion on the floor. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, without faulting anybody, I do think this is coming to us at a relatively late date and does kind of, you know, push the brinksmanship on this. But nevertheless, I do find that I appreciate the work of our Noise Control Review Board and our Noise Control Officer. And I feel that these conditions are reasonable, and I think the conditions we're further adling are even more reasonable and will make this event not only a success in terms of its bottom line, but I think also something that is going to work with the neighbors who live in this area. But I do think there's got to be a better way than bringing something like this to us 2 weeks from the date. Again, I'm pleased to vote aye.
Lemon? Leonard?
Well, given my dedication as a public servant, I'm going to volunteer my services to help Mr. Van Orden police the event, particularly the areas he
inside the beer garden
that he's testified he cannot reach that day. So, but it has nothing to do with my love of reggae and blues. Happy we could find a middle ground here. Aye.
Well, thank you all for bringing these issues to us, whether in a timely manner or not. I think it's been a very helpful hearing to review both the impacts on the neighborhood, the Japanese garden, and the desires of the promoters to have a festival that sounds like it will be wonderful for a lot of folks. And it's really great that we may be climbing out of the recession to the point that we can even think about doing something like this, and perhaps it can be a celebration for that. I do appreciate the issues presented by the Neighborhood Association regarding the overflow parking, the noise, and the hours of operation, and also sustainability. And we all heard your request for an updated plan for the park and an ongoing citizen advisory committee. And it's good to see your investment in wanting to be proactive in getting a master plan or something similar. And I defer to the commissioner in charge of parks to pursue that if and when we have the capacity. What we are addressing here is the noise impacts. I appreciate the additional conditions that have been put on, which will make the event safer, and I respect those concerns. There will be some temporary inconvenience to the neighborhood. I really believe that the noise board and the noise review officers did a wonderful job of addressing all of the issues. And when I was thinking through and reading through the testimony and then looking at the decision and the conditions of approval, it was remarkable how well that was done. And so with these additional conditions, which I think further strengthen it, I'm happy to vote aye.
Adams.
And while the issue is still and the discussion is still fresh in your minds, if you could email me, and I'll leave a card, I got to run off to another meeting, email me where you think the best control points would be. For, you know, not allowing signage that says parking for a Japanese garden, everything else is full, or whatever we figure out in terms of signage in the right place for those control points. Just give me your initial thoughts, and that way we can sort of speed along the conversation. I think it's important to note that the Japanese garden is open and that, you know, there might be parking there. So I'm committed to making this work, and look forward to engaging Transportation Bureau on the details. So I vote aye. We are adjourned. I put my cell phone on.